passe un bon artiste. Super, encore un but sensationnel.
That's a brilliant bit of follow-up play by Mahé. Oh my goodness me, what a shot.
Sagosen. Sagosen setter det hen. Han setter den. De I semifinale.
Hello and welcome to the Uninformed Handball Hour. This is episode 5 of our pre-EHF Euro 2020 podcast. And today on the podcast, we have two very special guests. Estelle Enzamenko and Sirabe Dembele Pavlovic, of course, from the French national team. And we're going to look back at their glorious EHF Euro 2018 when they lifted gold at home and some very, very special moments in here. My name is Brian Campion and I'm joined, of course, by Chris O'Reilly.
Let's do it.
All right, let's go.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, and you?
All good.
Good, good. You look very cozy. It's like a proper studio, huh?
Of course. You're prepared.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is focus mostly on 2 years ago, getting your perspective on what happened. You came into 2018 as the world champions. You were playing at a home championship as well. Was it mostly for you about expectations coming into the championship? Or just full of confidence when you were thinking about playing at home, being the best team in the world?
Actually, we had a chit chat about it a few days ago, and we were like trying to figure out how we felt before such a big event home. And we agreed on, for us, it was more like some kind of duty to, like, you know, succeed at home. Of course, it was a lot of pressure around us, but it's also like super exciting to be able to compete home. We had like all our friends, family around us, so we were super well surrounded, and yeah, so it was, I guess, a mix between like pressure, stress, and excitement, or yeah, something like that.
Trying to enjoy as much as possible, because it's not a lot of times that we play home. So for us, it was, I think, to go over this pressure, the first word was to enjoy, try to enjoy.
So what you said there, you were talking about this a few days ago. Is that something you're now in your mind trying to almost like recreate these feelings again so you can get into a certain mindset going into this tournament?
Yes, of course, because it was an amazing feeling, and we want to live this again. Yeah. That's why I was speaking about this. And yes, we want to be in the same condition, in the same feeling. And of course, we want to win again.
Yeah.
When we look back at the first day of the championship, we were in Nancy. I was there watching it as well. And in a classic French way, it wasn't the perfect start to the championship. When you think back at that, first of all, what did you think of that day? What did you remember in the build-up to it? And second of all, did it kind of flick a switch then afterwards? Maybe even the fact that the game was a loss, it was in some ways not a bad game, and of course losing to Russia is not a shame in any way, but did it kind of flick a switch and maybe release some pressure for you?
We know that one competition is very long, you know, and this first loss was not the end, and I think actually Russia was really good team in this moment, and we was ready for everything, so we was prepared to win but also to lose, and I think that's why we go through this more easy, because we was ready for everything.
Yeah, it wasn't the perfect way to start it, but we somehow anticipated every kind of scenario, so we were prepared to, like, you know, like we knew that it won't be the end of it if we lose this game. And like you said, it was against Russia. So come on, like, how hard is that?
Yes.
To start a competition against
Russia.
Like, and then, you know, finally we played against them in finals. So like, it also shows how strong they were.
So after that Russia game and the result, and then heading into the next game, either of you remember certain things you talked about that, okay, we need to change this? Because I think from the outside, it looked like then your defense kind of came together and your attack was absolutely on fire. So what, from your perspective, really changed after that Russia game?
First of all, this pressure somehow that like, you know, that you can't lose a lot of game in a European championship, actually. So like, we lost the first one, so we had no joker anymore somehow. So we had to win.
We haven't choice.
Yes, we didn't have any
but
choice.
But I think now it's not it's not about handball. We can make all the tactic training how we want it. I think it's we show how we was strong together mentally and our good spirit. I think we showed this in this European.
Brian mentioned there the defense, which I think France, over the years, you've always been fantastic with. It's probably one of your biggest strengths, but also the explosiveness in attack really caught the eye of a lot of people. And the main round was so impressive. The victories in that one were so good. But then there was this tricky game in the middle as well against Sweden, and that 21-21 game, which was incredibly difficult to judge watching as well, because it was so unlike both teams, really. But that, did that feel like one afterwards you were like, okay, maybe we got away with this one?
Yeah, I remember this game. Like you said, it was hard after all to, you know, like put words on it. Both teams were not on their best level, but yeah, that's what's hard with sport, I feel, because like a few days before we were playing amazing, and then suddenly like we just play this game and like nothing works the way it used to a few days before. So, and at this special moment you have to figure it out. You don't have time to figure out
why
or something. So you just have to win. So we saved our ass in a way. With this joke, but yeah, that was a tough game. And even us, after, like, during competition, you don't have much time to think every game through. Like, you know, you have to jump from one to the other. Yeah. So like, I can't remember exactly what was the sum up of this game, but yeah, we just like, you know, done.
we was home. We were home, so we just have to go through this, you know? It doesn't matter what's happened. We have to go through this.
And we have that much players that, you know, like from one game to the other, you know, that someone can come in and bring something different. And like, you know, it's, I don't know, it's, in that way, we are so different from the other team, I feel.
And I presume then when all of you moved then to Paris to play the semi-final against the Netherlands, that must have been a very almost emotional time going there to play that game. And I think you showed it when you played so well in that semi-final. What are your memories of that game against the Netherlands?
I remember the hall where we played, it was amazing, because it was the first time, the first game there, and it was, for me, it was amazing, the arena. It was like,
It was crazy. I remember the morning before the game, we went for small practice, short practice, and then just to come in and started to imagine that we're going to play there a few hours later and like see how. It's really huge, like from the court perspective. It's like
it's
huge.
Yeah, it's like this atmosphere gives us some kind of power. I cannot explain.
So much energy, and like we knew that everybody would cheer for us, and like also from the previous weekend, we were moving from Nantes to Paris, and then suddenly a lot of people started to follow us because we were going through this final stage, and then like it was also crazy from people, because they were like so many people haven't planned to come to Paris, and then suddenly after the last game in Nantes, everybody was like let's go, let's organize a few days, so we're coming, and like, so I don't know, we were like, it was more than the team only, it was also like all the people behind us, we could feel this this energy with everyone.
I remember at the time in Paris, it was a very difficult time in the country as well, because there were all of these protests happening. And this was a very unifying factor that, you know, a French team was in the city and doing so well and bringing people together in a way that sport, and in France over the years, sports teams in France continue to bring the people together.
Exactly. We even had one postponed game, remember, because of the strike in the second round in Nantes, so like one game was postponed, and but still, you know, people were like all around us, so that was such a good feeling.
It's funny because Christina Niagu is someone we spoke to on this series as well, and she spoke about that hall in Paris, because she played years beforehand in a world championship, and when she knew that it was going to be the final weekend in this championship, she was like, okay, we really have to get there. I mean, the sad thing was that she got injured just before that semi-final, of course, but she dragged Romania to that semi-final in Paris, and the atmosphere was phenomenal. Like, that weekend, had you experienced anything like that before, not just in an atmosphere sense, but also, as you said, the whole arena, for the most part, was behind you?
Personally, I've never experienced something like that before, and I'm not sure that I will after somehow, because like it was my first time in this arena. Players in France, they used to play the final championship in this arena. So like, yes, some players have been playing there already. For me, it was the first. So it was like, yeah, no, I don't think I've experienced something even close to that before. And from other players, it's quite funny, because when I talk with like players in club or like any national team player, they also still remember this semi-final and this final and the atmosphere, and like, you know, like all the teams which are on the side at this time of the competition, they are here watching. And like, I remember that they keep telling me that they were all recording all around, that it was crazy, that they still remember the feeling, that it was really something, even from the side of the court.
Talk to us then a little bit about the final itself. Did the fact that you had already lost to Russia and you had this kind of maybe this feeling that you were chasing them, is that an easier way to go into the final than being chased, as it were, because Russia had beat you in the first game?
With the character of this team, yes, because of course we was for us it was a little bit of revenge. We knew that we can do better. We knew that we can beat them with our quality. So yes, I think it was our position was easier than the Russian team, I think, for the final.
We were home, but first thing we knew that it would be a hard game anyway. Yeah. Like, you know, like in some games you can imagine several scenarios, like, okay, if we manage to do this and this, and maybe we can like at some point we can like win from 2, 3, 4 and then dig deeper. But like with Russia, we knew that it would be that kind of game, like, you know, like really close till the end, and like, and it's a final, so that makes sense. But like Siraba said, we knew that we also had a potential from this first game we played against them. That was also good, because we could watch videos about what we've done 10 days before, so that was quite interesting. And we knew that there were a gap between the way we played this first game and the final. So it was crazy, actually.
For all the preparation you can do, all the video work, nothing can, I guess, prepare someone for what happened with the red card for Alison Pinault. And the atmosphere then afterwards, if it was good before, it turned into something like Skopje or Podgorica. You know, it was insane. Maybe not the crowd per se, but the decision and how you felt about it seemed to drive you on an awful lot. What was your perspective of those moments around it?
I think in this moment, something maybe we can imagine that affect us. I think in this moment, the game totally changed, because we feel very sad for Alison. We feel like something not fair. We don't know what happened. And we was like, oh my God, what the fuck is that? The game totally changed in this moment. The atmosphere, I think the public don't sit after this. It was like fire. We can't even speak between us. It was crazy.
I still have just talking about that. But that it was like, at this exact moment, I could feel the ground was like, it's like shaking, because it's everyone was like,
it's like you put, it was fire inside. When I look the girl around me, it was like everybody had fire in the eyes. Yeah, it was like crazy, really.
Yeah, we felt so betrayed, so frustrated for our team, but also for Alison personally. Yeah. And and yeah, at this exact moment, like, it was like, okay, you want to play with us then?
Okay.
Yeah, you just lost the game, bitch.
you touch our friend, you will see what is going
French,
on.
French event. Yeah.
That's like the best thing that could have happened then, in the end.
it wouldn't be a good final without some real drama in there. I mean, you need those ups and downs within the final game.
It had to be like that.
Do you have many games in your career that you compare the type of emotion you felt in that final, or is that really a totally standout game in your career?
For me, I had this kind of emotions as well in a totally different way with club, which is like a bit different. When I won the EHF with Siofak, it was like personally, it was really something for me because I've never won anything with a club before, and I felt really in that club. And actually, it was right after this European Championship, so like it was the perfect year. And we were playing the final home against Esbjerg, and I don't know, like this national team is a bit different because we meet a few times in the year, but when like the club is where you are every single day, so like to achieve something in club, it's also something quite powerful for me. So like that was also a great moment for me, if I can compare, in a totally different atmosphere and everything, but like still it meant a lot.
This kind of feeling of a victory, it's maybe in the quarterfinal of Olympic Games. We won this game against Spain. It was amazing. I don't know how we won. We was losing. I think 7 goals, and it was like...
6 minutes left or something? 7 minutes left.
8 minutes left, and we was losing 7 goals. And I don't know how we go to the win. I can't explain, but this moment was amazing because we still believe till the end, we still fight together. We have a fire in the eyes. It was amazing. Really, it was amazing.
Yeah, that was the hardest game ever for me.
Actually. Yes. Yeah, like, after this game,
we were done.
Really, we was done. Dead.
But yeah, it was such a great feeling, and we had this one as well.
I don't want to bring the mood down too much here, and I feel like every time I come around to the question, I'm bringing the mood down a little bit. But we have to before talking about this championship coming up, we have to talk about what happened in Japan last year, because Estelle, we spoke a little bit. Petit peu.
Good cop, bad cop.
Exactly. We spoke just before the championship last year, and of course there were big expectations and big goals, because based on what was happening with the team over the last couple of years. So short and sweet, what happened in Japan?
Wow, that's the hardest question ever. Like, if we could answer,
we still don't know.
All day free, or
we still don't know what's happened.
Yes.
First, I think it's something that happened. It's a kind of thing will happen, because when you have a team like a French national team who win 5 years in a row a medal 4 times, I think it's not a shame to lose to make this kind of performance. This is first thing. And also, I think what we can see in this time, it's a lot of team at the same level. A lot of team are growing up, are better and better, and it's more hard today to say who will win this European or the next World Championship. It's really hard. You have 4 or 5 teams who can win, and this shows that the level is very close, and this kind of performance can happen, of course.
We don't know what happened, but we just want it to never happen again.
It's like now fuel that you use to make sure that that doesn't repeat. So it's kind of like almost like a motivation when you look back at Japan. So to kind of put that behind you and reach even higher now this time.
Yeah, of course. We like, if we go back from the beginning of this talk, like we are trying to recreate the perfect preparation, the good feelings that we had in that moment when we were on the top, because we've been everywhere. Like we've been on the top for a few years in a row, and then we've been like really down last year, like not going through the first round, and now it's brand new. So like I don't know, we've experimented everything. So yeah, it's of course a motivation to
come back in the top.
To know that we don't want to go there anymore. That's for sure.
It's the redemption story.
Yeah.
Every classic sports movie needs one, right? The idea of staying in the top of international handball or in any sport for so many years is so difficult. And now that you've experienced, you know, so many medals over the last few years, and now this low in Japan, have you felt there's been much of a change in the team's approach? Is it about trying to develop the style of play a little bit, or is it more mental and trying to rediscover what was working so well the last couple of years?
A bit of both, I guess.
Yeah, like, it's the same. Yeah.
The team changed a bit, but the quality is always there. We have many good players. It's like it's not a question. It has never been a question. Like we have a lot of talented players, and even a lot of them don't even have the chance to be here because we are that much
a lot of players.
Players.
Yeah.
We're still working mentally as a team. We've been doing that since the Olympic Games, and it proves us that it's working, and it's still working. Of course, like as every single team, we are also working a lot on the court, what we can do better, what fits to
we try
everyone.
To
we have a lot of different profile of player as well, so like it makes it like, I don't know, that's somehow our identity, but for us sometimes it's hard to manage with all of all of that, so like it's always a challenge to try to put everything together. And we also like working on the other team, trying to develop everything to make them struggle and see how the different teams are improving and like what they are working on, and of course like keeping our defense as strong as possible, because like you said, it's still and will remain our first strength.
It's been good. I don't have to speak, she speaks very well.
She does.
So the two of you have been to a lot of different tournaments at this stage. What are the next days like, and how important are they in terms of you guys coming together as a team, or maybe personally kind of getting in the right mindset for a tournament? Do you still feel like you're not there yet, or do you still need a few more days, or are you ready to go if the match was tomorrow?
We think about, of course, and our goal now it's to continue to train, to perfect our relation between two, three, to create this atmosphere, this competition atmosphere. But it's still early. I think it's still early to think about, to put pressure, because, we have still 1 week now. So we are really in a working mood now. Good shape physically, look a video, what we train, what we can make better. So we are more in this mood.
Yeah, it's also a bit, it's also a special tournament, right?
Yeah,
with this environment and the COVID, the virus, everything. So like we don't know yet like how it's going to be, when we're going to get there tomorrow. Like, we know that there are some rules that we won't be able to go out, and we will like sort of stay in the hotel. But we are in this crazy sports center, so we have a lot of freedom. So it's going to change a lot, I feel, from today to tomorrow. So, and we don't know exactly how it's going to be. Like, we are prepared for that. Of course, because we know about it for a while now, but you know, still I think that it's going to be quite different. And as soon as we're going to step there and like see the hotel and also see the arena, and like the feeling is going to like be a bit bigger and like getting closer from the good mindset.
Probably just hoping that you have a good roommate, because you're going to be so much time in the hotel. It's always, you're always together. Perfect. So that's always been the case, is it? Or is it just something recent that you started sharing a room? Or how long have you been roommates at tournaments?
No. Usually we're not roommates.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay.
It's the first, actually. So,
Okay.
It's like a blind date of roommating. Who's going to keep the place clean?
Both, right?
Yes.
No? Okay.
Yeah.
You're both well behaved in that way. Okay, good. It's not like the odd couple.
We'll have to talk to you again after the tournament to see if you're still friends.
But finally, then, it's, as you said, a strange situation, and also added to that, no test matches before the championship. Which, from what I read, Olivier seems to like, because he gets to train with you nonstop until the championship. But how do you feel that's going? And do you think it will have any effect, or is it these pre-tournament matches are not that big at this stage?
For me, it's also a good point that we are here and train together. 10 days, we can make how we want. We can make the rhythm how we want. We can work how we want. So for me, it's also good to have this kind of a training before a big competition.
And the honest truth is that, in my point of view, we always play like shit anyway in a friendly game before a competition. So, like, what's the point? Because after this kind of game, like, we are not relieved at all after this Golden League. Usually, we are more like, wow, we are far from what we're supposed to be. So. maybe it's better at some point to just be with us. Like, if you want my very honest answer.
Absolutely. So that'll be the key then. If you win the first game next week by 15 goals, like, they didn't have any test games. Perfect.
Yeah. End of the Golden League.
Estelle, Saraba, thank you so much. That was so nice to talk to you. Have a safe trip to Denmark tomorrow and take care.
Thank you.
See you.
And thank you to Saraba Dembele Pavlovic and Estelle Enzamenko. And Chris, what were some of the moments there in that interview that stood out to you most?
Well, first of all, I like the interaction between the two of them. I think they're clearly great friends, and having them look back on these moments together was super interesting. And also, I think the standout moment for me is them talking about the final as well and the red card for Pino and their reaction to that, not just as a team and as individuals, but also the reaction they felt from the entire arena. So it felt at the time back in 2018 that was a real turning point in the match, and cool to know that it was exactly how they felt and exactly how it happened in the game itself. Because I think we often attach narratives as journalists and as fans that aren't always there. But in a case like this, that was exactly what happened. So that was really cool. Yeah, super interesting to see how they bounce back after last year and Japan, which we spoke about as well. Seems like they're working hard to get back into that winning mindset, and I reckon they'll have a good chance this year.
Yeah, and for me, I think it's been very interesting over the last few podcasts that we've done to see all the different types of almost attitudes and cultures and personalities coming out in all the different players, to really see how they all approach or how they dealt with and how they bounce back from all these different situations. So that's been very interesting, and it's getting me absolutely pumped now. We're only a few days away from the HF Euro 2020. Are you excited, Chris?
I am. And just one last bit on the guests we've had. They've all been super open and very willing to talk in depth. So that's been really entertaining and really interesting. And now, though, we could stop looking back and start looking forward to the actual championship. We're just a few days away, 3 days away from it starting. You're heading off to Denmark, Brian, and the next time you'll be hearing the podcast is on Thursday, the first day of the championship and the beginning of our regular schedule of a podcast every 2 days, where we'll be speaking to you on site, boots on the ground in Kolding.
Exactly. So it's au revoir from us on the Handball Hour, and we'll see you this Thursday.